and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive right here in Lufkin, Texas. Show number 63.
That's right.
January 5th, 2004, ladies and gentlemen. For the next hour, we are going to talk about repairing, building, maintaining, all designed, of course, with blind in mind. And the host for the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, John Shaw.
That's right, Mr. Time. We have made it through to another year.
It is certainly good to have you with us, too.
It's good to be here, man.
Don Patterson, hi there.
Hi there. Yay. Gosh, I've been gone so long, I feel kind of like a guest host. You know? I just kind of drop in once a month or something. Where were we? Where was everybody?
Boy, I don't know. It's been so long. It was last year, last time I saw you.
It was last year, wasn't it?
My name's Tom Houston, by the way. But, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the guy that made all this possible, the creator, the producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, it's Phil Parr.
Oh, I thought you were just going to ignore me. But, you know,
I really just wanted to holler in the microphone one day.
A wonderful thing happened to me today. I've finally gotten over my New Year's Eve hangover. It took 5 days.
What a deal.
Jesus, terrible now. It's true, I could drink for days. You know, nothing. Everything's all right. Now,
well, it must be contagious because I've still got part of somebody.
Yeah, but you hammered down pretty good.
Because one guy couldn't do this by himself. It has to be somebody.
If I hadn't known what caused this, I'd have gone to the emergency room.
Yeah.
It was bad. No, actually, New Year's Eve was pretty. I was still in the kitchen at 1 o'clock going, you need me to help you doing this thing, baby? No, I wish you'd get out of here. And, you know, just,
yeah, it was pretty tame. We stopped by here at 10 o'clock and you were still mobile, so we just built a fire.
And what happened to y'all, Shaw? I thought y'all.
We didn't make the trip, did we?
Nah, you didn't. I figured those kids would probably get a kick out of it. We had a fire out front. We've got a fire pit out there with some benches around it. We all sit around and
made that campfire.
Well, what were you out over there dog sitting, Mr. Shaw, with your?
Well, yeah, more or less, and then fixing my blender. Now, isn't that a blind handyman project to do on New Year's Eve? You break out the blender to mix you a good mixed drink there, and the impeller's frozen up.
Oh, goodness! So it did not render.
Well, it rendered after a while, but man, I had to take it completely apart. Everything out of it.
Did you figure out that they're B-threaded on there?
Yeah, in fact, I did.
It took me forever. I got one apart one time and could not figure out, why won't this screw back on? Hell, they're B-threaded.
Yeah, it took me a little bit, too, on that.
B-threaded for us amateurs means reverse?
Backwards. You turn it the other way to tighten it rather than... And it's logical. They could make the threads go either way if they, you know, whatever they wanted.
I had to soak that impeller after I took the gaskets and everything out of it. Had to soak the impeller in hot soapy water for a while just to get it unstuck.
You did such a good job,
man.
Had to soak it in hot soapy water. Well, Don, I told you not to mix that saccharine in your blender.
Well, it sure must have been because I couldn't get it undone.
You wouldn't listen to it.
But you were aware of the backwards threads to start with going in?
No, because I found it out.
You know, on my router that I parted with here not too long ago, in one of its... Well, they call it a collar, but it's not a collar. They call something else, a collet or something. Anyway, it had a reverse thread, and if you didn't know that, and of course, I read the manual after, I screwed up the top of the screw head trying to get that rascal out. I said, nobody could put a screw in here this time.
And
turn it to the left, and out she came.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the deal. I talked to a guy one time who did support work for some company, Dell or somebody, and he said you'd get a guy on the phone and he'd ask a question, and you'd hang up the phone and holler RTFM, which means read the manual, you know. It's always first. Well, we're in a great. It does seem like forever since we've done a handyman show.
It really does.
If we get Houston reading, I can go get a going.
You could.
Do we have any? Email.
Do we have any?
Hey, a little email here. Here's a guy that needs some circular saw help, y'all. Hello, I'm a totally blind person who has a son who is very interested in working with wood and power tools. My question to you is, can you please tell me where I would be able to purchase guides to connect to the saw that will allow me to cut straight? And if there is any type of guides that you know of that would enable a blind person to use power tools so that I can teach my son the basic things that can be done with power tools, thank you very much. Mark Wittig.
That's Don Patterson's department.
Yes,
right there,
sir.
On guides.
Is it, what's the last name?
Wittig.
Wittig. All right, Mark. I can solve part of your problem and on your skill saw. Sears Roebuck and Company, our old standby craftsman, makes a fine little guide. I think it'll set you back about $29.95, and it's called a skill saw guide or circular saw, whichever. I call them skill saw. A lot of people circular saw. And now it's limited in somewhat. First of all, let's talk about how it works. It attaches to the front of your saw, most any saw. It has little clamps that screw down tight and hold it in place. In other words, and it sticks out like if you were holding your saw, this thing is going to go from left to right across the front of it, and it's probably it will allow you to cut a 24 inches, a 24-inch wide board, like if you were cutting plywood. Now it won't rip. Well, it will just about rip a center down the center of a 4-foot piece of plywood.
Mm-hmm.
What the way it works, the principle behind the thing is it just has an edge that overlaps the edge of your board. And of course, assuming your board is square, start with a factory edge, it just traces that edge and keeps your saw blade in the same spot.
Yeah.
And it, like I say, you can cut anywhere from like 3 or 4 inches up to 24. Now, I'm told, or I've seen on the internet, I can't tell you exactly where to get it. It's not a Sears product, but there is a company that makes one that will do 8 feet. I cannot imagine. I mean, it's made out of aluminum like mine. It's fairly lightweight. I don't know exactly how you'd sure have to have a stationary table or circular saw to put this on, but you could actually cut 8 foot wide something with a guide.
Yeah,
and
what
so,
a deal.
I mean, 96 inches. But anyway, check with Sears. It's a good starter. Other machines, I'm not sure. You need a good fence if you're working with a table saw. Everybody's faced with that. I don't know of any other guides, but Phil might can tell you about guides for table saws.
If you have access to the we've talked extensively at different times on different shows about things that cut. Of course, your table saw is going to have a fence. And if you're cutting a piece of plywood, if you want to cut a long piece of plywood or cut across a piece of plywood, I'd go to the hardware store and buy a piece of angle iron and a couple of C-clamps. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And just clamp it across there where you want to make the cut and allow for the width of the angle iron and the skill saw. Of course, you want to use the sticking up edge of the angle iron and slide the skill saw along it, so just allow for the width of the skill saw, and you can cut with the skill saw. The only problem with skill saws is they're noisy.
They are noisy.
Oh, they're noisy. I hate them.
Well, and you know, even sighted people have the problem, and Don Shaw's can testify to that. You know, it's easy to cut the cord off of blind or sighted.
Is.
So that would be the first thing I would teach your young son there about keeping the cord out of the way. And of course,
this guy talks like, does he talk like he has a circle saw, as a skill saw?
I think he addressed specifically the guide for a circular saw, I assume.
If you're going to buy something, if you decide, well, my son is really interested and I want to do some woodwork, the best thing you can buy is just a plain old chop saw, plain compound miter saw. You can get one for $160, $180 bucks. They're the handiest thing in the world because you can't miss. I mean, put the board up there and cut it. But there, on our old shows, we've talked extensively about cutting boards. And, you know, if you want to call one of us, well, my number is 936-634-9500. I'll be glad to talk to you about it.
Yeah, just not to carry this out too long, but most of, like your table-mounted implements, whichever, you know, routers or otherwise, in a sense, your fence is going to become your guide.
Sure.
And I had a table saw, there again from Sears. I was kind of partial to Craftsman tools, and it was inexpensive. If I ever buy another table saw, the thing to concentrate on is the fence. The better the fence, the better. I mean, if you buy a cheaper saw, you're going to get a floppy, wiggly fence.
Yep.
And they even make fences that you can buy separately to upgrade a saw or something. But on your routers, all of your table equipment, should the fence is going to be its guide.
And I can't remember the name. This little cheap table saw that I have is slow, but it has an excellent fence because it's tied at both ends. Sears one is only tied. The one little cheap Sears one I had was only tied at one end, and it was really hard to line up. But you can there's lots of, you can use all the power tools you want. Don't worry about it. Just make sure keep your hands in mind.
Okay.
All right, Tommy.
All righty. Well, here's a guy named Simon, and he's writing us from Toronto, Ontario.
All right.
And he says, "Hi, handy people. As of now, I've listened to 50 shows, and have been truly inspired. And I think I can give a few suggestions." But nothing like your past guests, some of whom are very, very inspirational. Listening to these guests, I know I'll eventually will make some of my own furniture. Now, a show in the early 20s, and I'm thinking he's talking about the numbers of the show.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Mr. Parr was asking about how to clean a dirty light fixture, and I thought someone would have written in, and I didn't hear much response. Now, this is what I do every time a light bulb needs replacing. I shut off the light switch, of course. That helps.
Yeah.
Then remove the light bulb. Check inside the socket with my finger to feel how dirty it may be. And if you feel anything, then I get either a pencil with an eraser or an eraser itself or a rubber glove. Gently rub around. Then before replacing the new light bulb, I also clean the metal part with the eraser. And your lights will last a lot longer. Oh, by the way, before you put in the new light bulb, check as well inside the light socket. There's a little tongue. Make sure it's not lying flat. That,
yeah,
sounded a little weird.
I know that little lever.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yes,
that
I have.
Touches the hot element of the light bulb.
It does indeed, and you'll want to pull the tongue up ever so gently.
Yep.
So that it makes better contact with the bulb.
I have done that several times. In
this
fact,
is a dirty old man.
You ought to do this cleaning process every time you replace the bulb. Now, if your bulb breaks while removing it, this is my way. Have a rubber ball about the size of a golf ball. Put it over the broken metal part and unscrew. In my case, I took a bicycle tire tube, cut it into 1 foot length, rolled it up as tight as possible. And if your tire tube is 1 inch wide, then I put the 1 foot roll inside. It's your guess how I can put that 1 foot roll inside the 1 inch. And it can be done. I think also you should cover replacing a light switch because that's blind friendly as well.
We have.
For totally blind people, they don't have to worry if they're repairing the switch the wrong way if they've shown what to feel for. Now, when the switch is on the off position, at the back of the arm switch, there's a very little corner, and when you switch on the underside, at the end it's rounded off. Now, the thing a lot of people don't know, whether it's the light switch or the electrical receptacle. Now, their screws are color-coded. Before I get off the topic of cleaning the light fixture, I also clean the ends of the batteries and their contacts, for they, too, will last longer. I bought a Braille watch back in 1984, and I brag to anyone who will listen, it's only on its third battery.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Shaw, I like the idea about the tape eraser box for the steel wool. And if you don't happen to have one of those boxes, when my kids were younger and they blew my little 3-inch speakers, instead of throwing the broken speaker away, I tore it apart more and took out the magnet. And for those who know about demagnetizing, I use that magnet to demagnetize. For those of us who have little sight, I put the magnet on the TV screen, go from corner to corner, then make a circle, making that circle smaller, then remove. Now, you should be able to see a color difference. Mr. Patterson, in show number 50, you were mentioning that you could drill a hole into a concrete wall, but I'm sure you would have been able to do it. I ran into the same problem of starting out with a concrete drill bit too large, so what I did is switch from a 3/4 to a quarter. Then once I reached the depth I needed to go, then I switched back to a 3/4 drill bit.
Yeah.
And what difference? What a difference. To also prevent the drill bit from jumping around, I first hammered a concrete nail into the wall so that there was a hole for the drill bit to use as a grabbing point. and I put up a couple of hooks to hang on the concrete ceiling for the kids' bikes. On some of your shows, there were mention of some totally blind people who were worried about hanging a picture, whether it was straight or not.
Uh-huh.
I also used Mr. Parr's idea of tying a string of wire, and if you aren't sure if the picture is straight, excuse me, take a measuring tape, which rolls into a case. Try and get a case which has a square casing. Then pull the tape out and lock it in place as far as you need it with the locking switch. Put the measuring tape case on the floor and bring the end of the tape to the corner of the picture and don't unlock the measuring tape from the case. And move it over. It should show level.
That's right.
Then you can put the measuring tape back.
Yep.
Measuring devices. Now, you don't really need to purchase some of these devices. Of course, you'll go, you've got the rolling measuring tape. It has a locking knob on it. Or you can get a ruler compass, which locks in place. Or you can use a combination square, which has a locking bolt that you can move from one end of the ruler to the other end. Then there's a bar gauge, which you can either use as a measuring device or to see if your shelves or boxes are square inside. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't know everything about some other measuring devices. I'm here to learn as well. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, Simon.
Well, let me just say something about light bulbs before we completely lose the topic.
Okay.
I learned something about light bulbs. Of course, I'm an old school guy. Like my father, and that is, by God, screw that light bulb in as tight as it'll go. Oh. You know, wrong Edison breath. Don't do that. Screw it in till the light comes on and maybe a little more, till the bulb comes on and maybe a little more. But don't screw it down tight, because what you do if you do that is pull the little screws that are holding the socket together.
Uh-huh.
You stretch those, you pull those screws too tight, and then you, because, but light sockets are cheap. And light kits for fixtures are cheap. We'll plug Home Depot, because Linda's probably listening. I'm sure Home Depot sells them and Lowe's sells them. And they're just the replacement kit for a light is like $4.
Yeah.
For the whole replacement kit. Now, not the little fancy glass things that go on it. That's just the light kit itself, not the glass things, just the sockets, four sockets
yeah.
that you'd have are just cheap and easy to replace. But if you don't screw the light bulb in quite as tight, you're not going to pull it apart. I mean, it's not, but it does need cleaning. His idea of cleaning is a good idea.
It is.
Or you could take a Q-tip and a bottle of alcohol and do the same thing.
I have a couple of comments on the light bulb thing too, I know everybody does it, and I have, and this is sort of how I found out the negative side of this. This sticking your finger up in that socket. That works good as long as it's probably a modern house or within reason. And I don't have never learned the difference. The next time we have Buddy on, John,
yeah.
or either Tom's brother could tell me. I don't know what the difference is in parallel wiring and series wiring, but one of them, and this happened to me at my mother's house in Tomball. It'd been a home. I was going to change a ceiling fan with the switch off at the wall, and I got the tar knocked out of me because there was still some hot wires up there.
Yeah.
So it depends on the way that house. So I would always caution new people, especially turn off the breaker if just in case. You won't, but anyway, turn it off.
Anyway. It wouldn't be a bad idea.
A switch leg is a switch leg, and depending on whether it kills the positive or negative, if it kills the negative, and you grab a hold of it and you touch ground, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
Yep.
So it just depends on how they wired that light switch. But I just go snap the breaker off is what I do.
Yeah. Simon had a P.S. on here. I need to finish my email here. The advantage, the advantage that the blind community has around the world is we awake to a blind date every morning.
Yep.
Way to go, Simon. Somebody's bucking for a job. Is it going to be one of our replacements?
And we're not really blind. We're only blind to the moment, remember?
It's only for the
our
moment.
Our guest is who, Madonna?
Is William Miller this week.
All right.
From Ohio.
Hey. Let's get a hold of William here in just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman coming up. Hang on.
Contact info. blindhandyman at hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind like me. Blind like me. Lowercase all one word at txucom.net. That's blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind handyman listserv. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Hey, this is Phil Parr. We're enjoying putting these little programs together for you. We hope you're enjoying them, too. We've been on with the Blind Handyman for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem. You can help us with it. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. Blind Handyman, all one word, at hotmail.com, or Blind Like Me, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We'll look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the shows. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
Are listening to the Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, I read, it was reading the Braille, I can't remember if it was a Braille monitor or the Braille form, one of those wonderful Hidden Agenda blind magazines. And ran across this guy who was, I can't remember if he's advertising his wares or just, I can't remember what the deal was. And his name is William Miller. Mr. Miller, how are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Good. Glad to have you on the Blind Handyman. Now, which magazine? Do you remember which magazine that was in?
Yeah, Matilda Ziegler.
Oh, it was in the Ziegler magazine.
Ziegler. Yep.
Okay. Did they do an article on you?
No, I just put my crafts in there that I make.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's worldwide too.
Oh yeah, it is. It's
yeah.
It's quite a magazine. I take it. It's a little expensive, but it's a good magazine. You know.
Yep.
What? So you mentioned crafts. What kinds of crafts do you make?
I make mantle clocks. I make wind chimes. I make birdhouse clocks. I make birdhouses. I make napkin holders. Paper towel holders, DVD racks, CD racks, and real small birdhouses, just like for a knickknack.
Yeah.
I make them out of 2x2s.
Uh-huh.
Put them up on a little pedestal. And I make the bigger, you know, birdhouses that sit on the porch or in the house.
Mm-hmm.
They put lights around and ivy on.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, did you have some sight at one time?
Yes.
Tell us about that. How long have you been blind, considered illegally blind?
Since 96, July 6th of 96.
96. Did you do any of this? What did you do before you lost your eyesight?
A carpenter.
Oh, so you knew a lot about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You had a little early training, and you were a carpenter or a cabinet maker?
Carpenter.
You were a carpenter, so like a framing carpenter, like a...
A little bit of everything, high-rise construction, a little bit of bridge work, and
yeah.
house building and
whatever somebody paid you to do, huh?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't mind us asking, what age are you?
41.
41. So you had a long time to see. So you saw until your mid-30s, didn't you?
Yeah. Yep.
Where's he from?
Ohio.
34.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't ask where. First question, of course, is what part of the country are you in?
Toronto, Ohio.
Toronto?
Ohio.
Ohio. Now, there's a town I'm not familiar with. What is that? Is that close to anything we'd know?
Wheeling, West Virginia.
It's over on that end of Ohio. Okay. Yeah. I know kind of where you are.
Do you know where Urbana, Ohio is? Close
no.
to Dayton? Okay. So you're a ways from Dayton, even.
Oh, yeah. I'm probably about 4.5 hours from Dayton.
Okay.
Well. I didn't realize the state of Ohio was 4.5 hours across.
Yeah, pretty good guess.
Yeah, we were about 3.5 hours from Columbus.
We were at a place called Putin Bay about, I guess, a couple of years ago that was really nice. It's kind of German. And I enjoyed it very much. Of course, this was in the fall. This is before it got cold. It gets cold in Ohio, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's freezing now.
It was
up in the 60s a couple of days ago. Now it's freezing.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your skills now that you do. I guess you freehand all this stuff. Do you have any models that you go by, or how do you tell us about it?
No, I went for safety training on the power tools.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't familiar with a couple of them. I've never ran before when I was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And I went for some safety training on everything. And more or less, you know, we built a couple things at the center. And I brought some of the stuff home. And I just more or less measured everything out again and started making them.
Now, where would they send you for? Where did the, like a blind agency sent you for some safety training? Or?
Yeah, it was in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay, and they have a place there that they do. They just train blind people, or they train all kinds of folks?
I think it's just legally blind and totally blind.
Is that right? Well,
yeah.
You know, I don't know about that, and I would like to. If you don't have any way to take my email, I'd like to talk to those folks. And they just train blind people. How many people were there training there when you were there?
Oh, there was a bunch of them.
Yeah, really?
I'm not sure how many because I was only there for 2 weeks just to take the one program.
So, yeah. William, what is your vision? Do you have any vision?
No, not at all.
Okay.
None at all anymore.
Okay. And so, well, that's interesting. Yeah, this sounds like one of these places. I know in different states, like in Alabama, there's some places where many states send their a lot of these agencies work in tandem. I wonder, what's the name of this place in Michigan? Do you remember?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can't remember. It's been a couple years ago.
You've slept a time or two since then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, we talked to this fellow in Florida who was building, under construction with a deal like that trained, wasn't it?
Yeah, we
remember
sure
him?
Did. That was building the
That was building the deal. Donna just
the work area for the training folks.
Yeah, for training blind.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good deal. What?
So yeah. I was going to ask William what were his basic tools? What do you have in your arsenal that you do all of your projects with?
12-inch compound miter saw.
All right.
A bandsaw.
All right.
Two drill presses.
Okay.
Table saw.
All right.
A joiner, a planer.
Oh,
goodness.
Whoa.
Yeah, I use all rough cut lumber. I use red oak, cherry, walnut, poplar, you know, and all my stuff. I don't use no pine.
Yeah.
So pretty much like if you build, do you sort of have a like Phil was asking earlier, I guess, like a jig or a thing, like where, in other words, if you build one birdhouse, can you build 10 just like, you have all this laid out, all your measurements and jigs and guides?
Yeah, more or less I got, like a birdhouse, with the miters on it.
Right.
Okay.
You know, the size I like.
Yeah.
And I just set that up against my compound miter saw and put my stop up against it and cut out a bunch at once.
Uh-huh. In other words, if you're going to make 6 birdhouses, you cut the sides, the left and right sides, you cut a dozen of them at once.
Yeah.
Once you
same
once
way
you
with
set.
The front and the back. You
okay.
Ones with the peaks on them.
Yeah, that's the way we did. Don Shaw and I built 6 picnic tables.
Picnic tables.
Yeah. I was interested in this planer joiner. Is it? I mean, it's like you run a board across it, and it does what to it?
It squares off this one of the sides.
Okay.
Like edger. It makes a smooth, straight edge. Then if I want it board to rip down, I'll have a straight edge put up against my fence and run it through the table saw.
To do that on the table saw. Is that its only use?
What, the table saw?
No, sir. The planer joiner? I don't have one.
No,
so that's the reason I'm asking.
It planes, too.
Yeah, so it would take a rough surface smooth if that's what you want.
I have a regular planer, it does that. It's a lot quicker.
Okay, and your joiner, is that what we're talking about here? Does it also do your corner, like mortises and all that, or is this another?
No. Okay. I can do different angles
okay.
on the joiner, planer. Right. Like if I want a 45 in the edge of a board, right. I can take it across that or do it on my table saw.
I was going to say, you could do the same thing with a table saw.
Yeah.
Well,
it all depends on what blade I have in there on my table saw. I got the blade in there that I used to groove out my CD and DVD racks.
So that would be a dado blade?
Yeah.
Yeah, that you have at a certain width that you just run it. And those of you who aren't familiar with the dado blade, it is two blades put together. And they even make now, and I've got one, an adjustable dado blade. That you can make larger or smaller. Maybe they're all like that.
That'd be a deal.
Yeah, that's what mine is. I can go down to a quarter up to 7/8.
But mine is so clogged up with sawdust at this moment in time, you couldn't adjust it. It'd be like Don Shawnee's blender a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I do. After I'm done, most of the time, I always hook up my shop back and blow it out.
Well, I'm a little lazier now. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, I was going to ask William, when we get the questions all the time. In fact, if you listen to the show, we just had an email earlier, and many blind people, you know, new or potentially handyman wannabes or woodworkers or so, ask about guides. When you went to this place in Kalamazoo, did they have any guides that you were available specific to any of your equipment for blind people? Any different kind of guides that?
Well, I had one when I was up there because I cut my own circles for my wind chimes.
Oh boy!
Okay.
And I cut it on the bandsaw.
Right.
And they had one made up, but it wouldn't fit my bandsaw, so I had to take it back apart and more or less, put the wood on there to fit my bandsaw.
Right.
But yeah, there's whatever. Like say, if someone goes up there and wants to make a pattern up or something, they'll help you do it.
Right. Well, tell us, just like your circle thing on your bandsaw, maybe you could tell us how that works. Right. I mean,
yeah, it's just a piece of wood. It's a little bit bigger than a table on the bandsaw.
Okay.
And where the groove is in the table, I think it's like 3/4 inches wide.
Okay. You mean where you would put the fence or put a guide?
Yeah.
Okay.
You lay that down in there first and put the piece of wood on there and make like a T on the bottom of the sheet of plywood.
Make a T, okay.
Then glue it and nail it, then slide it all the way up until the top of the T hits the table. Then make your two little holes, come straight across from the blade.
Uh-huh.
You make two holes. One's for the closest to the blades for the small circles. The one further away is for bigger circles.
Okay.
Take and spin that piece of wood, the one I'm using to cut circles out of.
Okay, so you put, there is a shaft sticking up in one of these holes.
Yeah.
And you drill a hole in the piece of wood you're going to do a circle in and spin. I got you point.
Yep. Yeah.
Was this friend Dale Campbell at one time was telling us about a similar...
Something similar,
like that thing. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, they could cut. Seemed like he said he could cut immense circles with this.
I mean, yeah, but however big your bandsaw is.
Right. Well, William, do you use any other special guides that you've created or somebody pointed you to?
Yeah, my father made me up the guide for my DVD and CD racks to cut the grooves on my table saw.
Uh-huh.
Because I got to keep putting so many grooves in it and sliding it back and forth.
Yeah, and keep moving it down.
Right, I tried to use my router, and it just dulled the blades too quick.
Yeah, a router is not a blind guy's best friend.
Oh, that's like, on my wind chimes,
uh-huh.
I routed all my circles.
Okay.
The big circles and the little circles.
Yeah.
But I got a special guard that I put on her made out of 2x4s to where I can't get my finger.
Uh-huh.
You know, uh-huh. when I'm spinning the circles, I won't spin my finger around into the blade.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, these CD racks that you make, because you have to make a little groove to put the little divider between the CDs. So you've made one, and then you have to scoot it down and make a second one and a third and a fourth. How do you know how far to move it?
Because I got a strip of wood glued and nailed at the edge of that pattern to where uh-huh. I run it across the blade, bring uh-huh. it back, slide it up until it drops over top of that piece of wood I got. Run it through, keep sliding, and it keeps dropping. And I could, the same width as the blade, you know, the grooves are.
You may have lost me till it drops over the piece of wood.
Right.
You'll have to do a little.
I slide the board I'm cutting, grooving out.
I got you.
To that piece of wood I got nailed down.
Nailed down where?
On the whole sliding piece.
Oh, okay. It's tied to the board you're cutting.
Right.
Okay, I understand you now. I got your point now. And when it drops down, you know that you're past the width of the place you need to be.
Yep.
All right.
Riding over it like a saddle.
I got you. I got your point there. And you have, but you have to move it every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but that beats trying to hand do it, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
So
William, on your clocks, I said like mantle clocks. What do you actually like? Build the woodwork, and then you put like a quartz clock, a little round or something clock that you can buy, or
yeah, they're inserts.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know, I draw it out.
Inserts. Clockwork.
Okay,
yeah.
And so you do all of the woodwork. How did you come up with your design? Or are these your own creations, or is it you?
The birdhouse ones are.
Yeah.
You know, I put a clock in and drill a hole for the little bird and put a little bird at the top of it.
Right.
You know, yeah, I come up with that myself.
But the mantle clock, say, did you buy some plans or something to know how to make?
No, they showed us how to do that in Michigan.
Okay.
I always wanted to buy the clockworks and build a clock. Just never have done it, but I always thought it'd be great. Great project.
Yeah, eventually, sometime it's when I'm going to start a small, like, grandmother clock.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Yeah, I'm going to make it out of cherry.
Yeah, that'd be neat. Yeah, I always thought that would be a great project to do, man. Either start with a mantle-type clock and then maybe work up to some giant grandfather clock.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah, eventually that's what I'm hoping for, is to find a job teaching, you know, teaching the blind woodworking, because a lot of the states are dropping the woodworking programs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this place in Michigan might be interested in hiring you.
that's
what I thought. That's exactly what I thought.
Well, not being, you know, getting in your business and everything, but you sell your stuff. Do you have a pretty good clientele? Or, I mean, does this supplement your income, or is this the way you make your living? Or
No. The area I live in, it's small.
Right.
You know, I have to be in a bigger city.
I understand.
Yeah.
So you're doing this for personal gain, I mean, for knowledge, to learn, and then if you could score a teaching position someplace, you'd do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But you do sell a few things.
Yeah. It's more, to me, more or less, I've given away more things than what I've sold.
Well, I have a recording studio, and I have the same problem.
I know how this
giveaway stuff goes. Well, it sounds like you've done fine. I don't think you need any of our help. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
We're just amateurs. We're just, I never bought anything but a piece of pine in my life.
Yeah, I went for some training in Wheeling here before Christmas or before Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh. What was that about?
Caning chairs.
Caning chairs.
Yeah.
I can cane a couple of chairs. And
you know what?
Good.
I couldn't do it. But I stuck it out and learned the different weaves.
Wait a minute. You couldn't do it? Why?
Yeah, it was too tedious.
Time consuming.
You didn't have the patience to do it. You could physically, you would have the ability to do it.
Right. If I would go back down just for chairs, but I went down for a couple different things.
Uh-huh.
You know, I made a footstool out of red oak, the legs, the framework,
uh-huh.
and I put a herringbone weave on it with a reed, That's the name of the material reed.
Okay, so you made the footstool,
yeah.
Drill the holes for the cane to go through, and put this weave on it.
No, I didn't drill it. You know, it's just a regular herringbone weave on the footstool.
Yeah.
You know, I just made the frame.
The frame.
It just goes around the
rungs, and then weaved it around the rungs.
Yeah. You know, I learned that down there, and like a regular log cabin weave.
Chair caning takes lots and lots, as I know you know this, lots of patience, man.
Yeah.
All three of us, Tom Houston excluded, they didn't teach you that at Shades Valley High School, did they?
No, they did not.
They didn't teach him that, but all three of us blindies, we all are fugitives from TSB. Mr. Edwards, TSB's caning. We all know, I basically know how to cane a chair, but I hope I never have to do one again.
You know, it's just, I guess how much patience one has or how bad you really want to make some money or kind of what really you want to do, because it wasn't here a week ago. Someone on the list was talking about that they had learned to cane some chairs and had put out some advertisement in their area and really had more work, actually, than the person could do caning chairs. Boy, too many beers here today. Anyway.
We don't.
Hold down now, Donald.
Couldn't keep up with all the work they had to do, so. What a deal.
And I remember one time you ran an ad in the paper.
I did. Didn't get any. No work. Nothing. Nada.
Well, I think he ran it on American Classic Country and Tradio.
No, and then one time when we were in Houston together, buds together, Don said, you know, we could gain some chairs.
There you go.
And I said, well, I can do a couple in the
afternoon. You're training. Yeah, Patty said, hell, I can do a couple every afternoon.
And I couldn't even get past the ones. I got to tell you, the Shaw boy had to bail me out.
That was wonderful. Put an ad in a magazine. It's a real popular magazine.
Yeah.
Stuff I make.
Uh-huh.
For a full page ad, black and white.
Uh-huh.
$150,000.
Goodness.
What magazine was this?
Well, can I say it on the...
Sure. Say anything you want to.
It's at Oprah magazine.
Oprah magazine?
Yeah. And
they're real proud
of
them.
A page.
Yeah.
$51,000.
So you passed on? Did you go ahead and put the third of a page in?
Oh, I wish I could.
You went ahead. You better run one in the Charlotte Gazette or something.
I didn't realize it was that expensive.
I wouldn't have even thought it was that expensive. I know radio time is, you know, radio spots in Houston are $1,000 a piece these days.
Yeah,
well, you know,
Oprah's the most popular sold magazine now.
That's
you know, there is a place that, and you ship the chair to them. They're the place that sells the cane. That Don Shaw put me on to, but anyway, because I called him and asked him, and just a regular chair, you know, about $125, or it's how much a hole did I tell you, Don? A buck and a half?
Yeah, a dollar.
But you have to
hole.
Ship the chair to them, and then they'll ship it back.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a standard price everywhere.
Like, yeah,
I wouldn't cane a chair for $125. I don't need $125.
And there's usually 80 holes?
Yeah, about
90, 100 or so to an average chair. Yeah, it takes lots of time, lots of hours.
Needed 100 and a quarter that bad, I'd just quit eating 2 or 3 days.
Lots of hours.
Well, sir, you seem like you're doing all right. You don't need any of our help, but we appreciate you coming and sharing your thoughts with us and your knowledge and being a guest on our Blind Like Me show.
Okay.
Thank you much, and don't go outside. It's too damn cold.
Yeah. Hey, would I be able to leave my number if anybody'd like to order anything?
You'd be able to leave your number. You sure would.
You
your number
right
is
ahead.
Your name is William Miller.
Yep.
And your number is what?
740-537-9866.
Give it to me one more time.
740-537-9866.
And we want 10% of anything you get.
That's fine.
Only kidding. Only, William, only kidding. Only kidding. Lots of luck. Let us know how you do. And appreciate you being on the Handyman Show. Back in just a minute with a little something else, all right?
Okay. The rain,
the weather's been bad for years. For that, I'll gladly take the blame. Now our two separate lives will never. I'm sorry for anything I might have done, and I'm sorry.
Handyman.
Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word, at hotmail.com.
That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind Like Me.
Blind Like Me,
lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net.
That's Blind Like Me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman listserv.
Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
That's Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman at hotmail.com.
Blind Like Me at txucom.net.
Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Email us often and give us your opinion.
If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Everybody, this is Phil Parr. We're enjoying putting these little programs together for you. We hope you're enjoying them, too. We've been on with the Blind Handyman for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem you can help us with. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. Blind Handyman, all one word, at hotmail.com, or Blind Like Me, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the show. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
Is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Houston, you're in control.
All right, Mr. Tom, you are going to be.
Do we even have a deal that says, come with Tom Houston?
We have a what now?
Do we have a deal that says now I'm aboard the Blind Handyman Show
with
Tom Houston?
But it's back in the archives, actually, but we do have it. We need to break that out, don't we,
Mr. Tom? Wait a minute,
so you didn't
put it on the disc?
Yeah, it's in here. It's in here. I just already had Shaw queued up, and by the time you said it, I was pushing the button here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, Tommy, we never have come back to you, have we?
Oh, we need to do that.
Feel deprived or something?
It never happened.
Oh, but the week you were gone, he took over. He's had his 15 minutes. He took over. He introduced himself as the producer and creator.
That's right.
Boy, did I.
That's right.
You know, I never went back and listened to that show. I meant to, and I didn't need to hear it anyway. Of course, I have listened to some shows. We have a guy here with us who's never heard a show and won't let his wife listen to one.
Oh, no, she can listen to it. She just has to figure out how to get on the computer and get on.
I gave her a CD of a show, and you wouldn't let her listen to it.
She's probably heard it.
You think she listened to it?
Oh, I have a feeling she snuck out.
You need to ask her about that.
What a deal.
Tommy's got another email that we kind of thought was of interest, so we'd like to read.
Well, yeah, this was kind of a greeting from Houston, just a little south of here, folks. And this is from the Houston Taping for the Blind, HTBR. We're thoroughly enjoying the Blind Handyman shows that we have aired on our local radio reading service. And I was going through the old mailbox and ran across the following and felt it to be very appropriate for your dudes. Thank you for an excellent show. And this is from Bob Bartlett from the Houston Taping for the Blind. And the subject here is Guide for Being a Handyman.
All right.
And I thought we all needed this.
We do.
Yeah, really.
Number one, if you can't find a screwdriver, use a knife. If you break off the tip, it's an improved screwdriver. Try to work alone. This is number two. An audience is rarely any help.
That's the truth.
Number three, despite what you may have been told by your mother, praying and cursing are both helpful in home repair, but only if you're working alone.
Uh-huh.
All right. Number four, work in the kitchen whenever you can. Many fine tools are there. It's warm and dry, and you're close to the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Number five, if it's electronic, get a new one or consult a 12-year-old.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep, it does.
Yeah.
Number six, stay simple-minded. Get a new battery, replace the bulb or fuse, see if the tank is empty, try turning the switch to on or just paint over it.
Right. Troubleshooting there.
Number seven, always take credit for miracles. If you drop the alarm clock while taking it apart and it suddenly starts working, you've healed it.
That's right. That's good. That's a good one.
Number eight, regardless of what people say, kicking, pounding, throwing sometimes does help.
It does.
Yeah.
And number nine, if something looks level, it's level.
Yeah.
Number 10, if at first you don't succeed, redefine success. And lastly, above all, if what you have done is stupid but it works, then it isn't stupid.
Yeah,
that's true. That's good.
What did Thomas Edison say? He never had a failure. He just found 10,000 different ways not to make a light bulb.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, what they said, people are complaining about George Bush bombing this one country, and he said, well, hell, think of all the countries I could have bombed.
Yep.
You know, put things in perspective. I wish Char was on Oxycontin. Rush Limbaugh.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, he got a reprieve today. They said he did not have to turn over his medical records for at least the next 2 weeks.
Rush Limbaugh got a reprieve today?
Yeah, he got a reprieve on
like
that. They wanted to get his medical
house rotten look away.
He can afford a good lawyer, though, I
Boy,
think.
He can't. You see his estate?
My goodness.
Man's got a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's sick now. He's not a criminal. He's sick. That's a remember.
Well,
right?
We know.
So is my son.
No, well, they're sick. They have a little problem.
Well, that's what he says now.
Medical.
Before that, they should put drug. People who are hooked on drugs should be put in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wish I was on Oxycontin. Instead of in a jailhouse rotten look away. I'm sorry. But here's the thing. What are we going to talk? What time is it?
Well, we have about 5 minutes.
All right. We have, ladies and gentlemen, with
time
us.
For Mr. Tom.
A rare moment. That's why I wanted you to come back to him. Rare moment. Tom did something unprecedented in his long career as a radio broadcaster.
And boy, I will tell you, when you say unprecedented, you're right. I am the least of the handyman in this room right now, I guarantee you.
I don't think that's true, but anyway, tell us what you did.
I put in a faucet. I put a faucet in my bathroom, my master bath, and the old mobile home, and it needed it because it was dripping on the hot water side, and it had been going on. It was dripping real slow for a long time, and I thought I just kind of ignored it, and then I got to looking at the light bill.
You got electric hot water heater.
That could kind of...
I might better do something about that.
Get things started there.
Down to Lowe's I go, Home Depot isn't open yet. And anyway, I went down to Lowe's and I picked me up a Price Feaster or
Price
something
Fister.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got me a faucet that would work in my little bath and took it back to the house. And first thing I did was I shut the water off. And in my mobile home, you can do it from the utility room with a pair of pliers.
Okay.
And that's exactly what I did. And back into the bath I went and crawled up under that sink. And let me tell you, that was for a big old fat guy like me, that was something.
Yeah, but
but anyway, I finally got under there, and when I got under there, I looked to see exactly what I was facing. I took a flashlight with me and looked up there, and what it had was a couple of big old plastic wing nuts holding the faucet down.
That's the way they do it now.
Uh-huh, and then it had wing nuts also onto the little hot water side and the cold water side where the water comes in.
And, you know, it's like now they put your gas cap on a little rope. If you buy a car, they put your gas cap. When you take it off, on a little chain of some kind. I mean, it took them 100 years to come up with that.
Yeah, to that
you
little
know,
simple thing.
Shaw and I both have a tool that will reach up and get that nut up under the sink that tightens the faucet up.
Uh-huh.
And now they put a plastic wing nut on it, which holds it down just as well.
Oh, sure. Does just as good or better.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah.
I did not need, by the way, I did not need any pliers or any kind of tools underneath there. So I just unscrewed it simply with my hand. It was hand tight. Took the little deals off. I had a bucket under there, and I drained the water out of the lines, of course. And I've got to do this real fast because I'm fixing to have to push a button back here.
All right.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, once I took everything off, I slid the faucet out. I took the new faucet, turned it upside down, put some plumber's putty in the little groove that goes around the bottom, stuck it back in place, straightened it out. Then I took my little wing nuts, tightened it back up, put the hoses back on, tightened them up good and tight, went back and turned my water on, turned it on, and it worked just fine.
Are you a hero in your house?
I am.
Remember, William said, or the list said, don't turn down the chance to be a hero.
And trust me, I'm playing it to the hilt.
I bet Martha appreciated that. What did Martha? Martha didn't mention.
Well, I try to keep her out of my bathroom.
I'll bet you do.
No, I'm only kidding, Martha.
I try to keep her out of mine, too.
Martha's a regular listener in there now. So.
That's right. Yeah. Martha has internet access when a pig flies. Anyway, Tom put on a faucet. Remember, changing faucets.
That's the deal.
Changing faucets is not a big deal.
That's right. If Tom can do it, anyone can.
Buddy, I guarantee you that.
You may live in an older house that has those nuts up under the faucet, but they make a tool to take those off, and I've changed several of them with that long tool that you stick up in there that'll grab that nut.
But they give me the new faucets any day, like Tom just replaced, rather than the old cast iron rusted on.
Yes,
you know, man, those were big trouble. Now,
but if you want a new faucet for your sink in your bathroom, one fits all. I mean, any one you buy is going to fit down in the holes. Yeah, don't worry about how wide apart they are. Everyone fits, and you know they don't make odd sizes.
And you could say, when messing with 30-year-old plumbing, your project could last forever.
It could. It really could.
True.
Ever wonder how long it'll take? Anyway, thank you, Don Patterson.
Yes, sir. Enjoy it.
Donald Shaw.
Yeah, Phil.
Good to be back. Tom Houston, thanks always.
You're certainly welcome.
Plumber Tom Houston.
Guys. Thank you.
I'm Phil Parr, and I see said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.